Well, this year, a team of Race to Alaska competitors is made up of the Bird Brothers of Marblehead, Massachusetts, Tripp, Chris, and Trevor. Now, Chris and Tripp raced in 2015 on an open catamaran and came in fourth overall. A short documentary was made about their sometimes harrowing voyage.
Each day brought a new adventure. Massive kelp beds that stopped them dead in the water. Howling winds that eventually took their toll, ripping their jib apart and breaking their boom. They were stuck in a frustrating rhythm, sail, break, stop, relying on their own ingenuity and the kindness of strangers when they could find them to help them repair and try again.
And despite that, they're doing it again with younger brother Trevor, who's off preparing. So Tripp and Chris join us by Skype from the dock in Port Townsend. Tripp, you there?
I am.
What we're hoping to do is check in with you along the way. But really, when we hear that, you know, the boom broke at one point, massive kelp beds stop you in your tracks. Why are you doing it again?
There's nothing else like it. Although, you know, all of us are very experienced in the ocean. We do a lot of sailboat racing, and there's no other challenge we found that connects all the levels of, you know, competitiveness, but also adventure and exploring new areas.
And last year you had a 22-foot beach catamaran. What about this year?
Yeah, last year was pretty cold. This year we've got something a little bit bigger, and it has some downstairs. We've got a little double-wide coffin with a stove set up, and being able to tuck in out of the wind and waves is going to be convenient.
Well, I mentioned you were the fourth overall, but you were the first boat to come in that had no protection on board. And as you say at one point in the film, I'm wearing everything I own. Well, Chris, I wanted to ask, we saw before the last race, you spoke to a tribal shaman.
If your boat doesn't get you to where it needs to go, then you've offended it in some way. You listen to your boat, and talking to her would be a very normal thing to do.
She was telling you the boat is alive. She suggested you make offerings. Are you following that advice this year?
You know, I think we are. I think we have our smudge sticks ready to go. And I think there really is a connection with the boat and with the conditions. And, you know, you kind of have to play the cards that you're given. It's really how you adapt to those. It does come down to kind of what the boat wants to do.
Do you say things to the boat?
You're going to embarrass me here. Yes, we definitely talk to the boat. I think, you know, as part of our ceremony beforehand, we learned what was called the seal song. I'm not going to sing that right now, but it's definitely, I would say, common to talk to the boat a little bit, specifically in tougher areas on the course.
Right. Tripp, what was the most spectacular thing you saw?
Most spectacular thing, there was a couple times that we were just, after several days of really, really challenging conditions, crazy wind and waves that were, you know, hammering you back every time they hit. And then a moment would come along where everything sort of fell in your favor and you were cranking along, making, you know, good pace towards the finish, and everything just sort of balanced out and was working well. That was the best moment. Other times where you come across whales or bioluminescence in the water and just everything was pretty magical.
We should say, I mean, yes, you're sailing, you know, under your own power, but you have Skype and you have GoPro cameras and you can, you know, talk to crews on the land. Did you ever think of just stripping everything away?
Absolutely. The lighter you are, the faster you are. So getting rid of all that removes a lot of weight and also a lot of hassle. But at the same time, being able to share the story with friends, family, whatever, and also to remember it by is a pretty cool tool to have on board. It's worth the small penalty.
Well, and as you and all the racers are told at the beginning, you're on your own. I mean, if something happens, somebody may not be able to get to you.
The Canadian Coast Guard comes in and gives a warning the day before the start and makes it pretty clear, you know, it's not so much you call the cops and they come get you. It's several days before a rescue boat can make it to your position. So it does put things in perspective a little bit.
So hold on to your phone. and we should have a little disclosure here. Your mom is my college roommate, the fabulous Jean Verbridge. Your dad, Charles Bird, just passed away as you were planning on going on this trip after an illness way too young. Did you boys ever think well, we can't go, or, you know, how did that, how does that factor into this?
It's been a tough month for the Bird family, Bird Brothers, but it's something that he got a lot of pride out of, seeing us do what we loved and seeing us, you know, all sort of get along and bond together as a family. So, I don't know, it was never a consideration that we weren't going to go. It makes it extra special.
I'm wondering, Chris, if this is maybe some kind of rite of passage for the three of you, something maybe even more powerful.
Yeah, I mean, the three of us have never really sailed together before, and it's always something that Dad's been really proud of and kind of what we've done. So I think for us, it's been, you know, really a moment for us to all sail together, and something that we know we're all excited about. But more importantly, I think it's something he was excited about.
Well, he will be the wind beneath your sails there. And we are going to check back in with you. So stay safe, okay?
We'll try.
Okay. Chris and Tripp.
The fine line.
Yeah. Tripp and Chris Bird, with their brother Trevor, they are racing to Alaska, the 750-mile non-motor-powered race from Port Townsend, Washington, to Ketchikan, Alaska, through the fabled Inside Passage. See you guys.
Hey, thanks. We'll talk soon.